Golf Talk America is brought to you in part by Club Corp, the world leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information.
The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on pgatour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about here on this Friday. The PGA Tour in the second round, already in action at the Valspar Championship at Innisbrook Resort in Palm Harbor, Florida. And we'll let you know what's going on. There's some big names playing. DJ, Bubba Watson, John Rahm's playing in this game, in this tournament, Jason Day. So yeah, some pretty good names playing in it.
Who is that?
And there's our buddy Art Sellinger, but can't hear us.
I never Art? Heard a word. I just know that there's a fusion, and that's you two that fuse together. and
that's all you need to know.
Why I know it's a fusion is if you take both of your drives together, you hit it as far as me. So that's the fusion of
golf. Throw down. Well, listen to this guy. Smokes. Throw down at the start of the show. Top of the
early
show.
I was going to say, early in the show, already get to go. There you go. It's Art Sellinger with Sellinger's Power Golf. Other than the fact that you can't hear us as you're getting older, Art, how are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely fabulous. What a beautiful day in Dallas. And the shops have been going crazy. People have the bug. The weather's been atrocious, and it's finally happening, and I think people are excited because the Masters is around the corner, so it's awesome. Everything's great.
Oh, well, there you go. This is the happiest guy I've ever heard. By the way, before we get into some golf and talking and getting some hot opinions about things, the NCAA tournament is going on for both the men and the women, and we've talked to you before about your daughter plays at Furman, and give us a little background. I'll let people know. What happened with her? It was a tough last week, I guess, for the Furman team.
Well, it was amazing because the Mercer team in the Southern Conference, they're the Golden State Warriors of the conference, and we made it to the conference finals playing an undefeated Mercer team, and we had the lead as close to 45 seconds to go in the game. They had a steal. They pulled away, and we lost by 3 to go to the big dance. And it was a heartbreaker for the team. But they played him great, and they got a WNIT bid and discovered a little ACC basketball last night at Virginia Tech. And unfortunately, the season's over, one and done. But a great accomplishment, 19 wins. And my daughter got a little mop-up time last night and knocked a 3 down. And as I talked to her last night, I said, "Did you yell bank when you shot it so it would count in horse?" she said this girl was closing out on her so hard. She was 27 feet from the basket. And I'm telling you, 27. I got video. And she's just hauled it and it hit the backboard and went in, and she acted like she meant it. And that's my girl. God bless her. And she
good.
As I was telling Frank before we came on, she ended up shooting 57% from the year from 3, but she only shot 11 shots. And but she did make 5 of her last 6, but that took 2 months. But we're good.
Stats are stats.
I told her last night, I said, "Listen, you played in the WNIT and you got in the books, and your team had an awesome year, and you're a great teammate." So, you know, it's a lot to be said to play Division I basketball. Those ladies are amazing.
They're really good.
All good there. I'm very proud of her.
Good. Every year you can hear it. It's a proud papa. But by the way, I bought that book you recommended last time you were on.
What was that?
Yes.
Something teammates.
Teammates Matter.
Is that Teammates Matter? There you go. I bought that
Absolutely.
Book. I haven't gotten it yet. I got it from Amazon, but I'm going to read it because you said it's all about the strategy of life and playing on teams and all that kind of stuff. So I'm excited to get that.
I'm looking forward to a kinder, gentler Tim Matthews in the future after you read the book.
Let's see if that happens.
He will be. Yes.
Hey, by the way, it's good to be back, guys. It's good to be back from off the road.
Yeah.
Art.
I was just going to say, Frank's been on the road himself for quite a while.
Yeah, man. From Tucson. We did the West Coast. We did Tucson. We went to Bay Hill. Yeah. We went to the Players' Championship. and just got back in this past Tuesday into Nashville, and we're back in the Nashville studios. So any moment, Bogey the Wonder Dog will start barking in the background. So we're looking forward to Bogey's overview of Russell Knox's albatross yesterday at the Valspar, by the way, boys.
Yeah, very nice. How many of those have you had, Art? How many double eagles have you had?
I have made two. One was in a match play tournament at the Four Seasons at Las Colinas, which really turned the match around because this guy was on the green in two on the third hole at Cottonwood Valley, putting for eagle, and he had me three down after seven. And ooh, he was thought he was about to go four down, and I hit a six iron in the hole and won that hole, and the match was finished on the 16th. I beat him.
Broke his heart.
That was one. And then the second one was at Vaquero here in Dallas, and that was on number seven. So I have had two, but no hole in ones in 47 years of R&D in this game.
Huh. I'm with you. I've never had one either. Frank, how many hole in ones have you had?
I've had one in my life. 178 yard par 3, Meadowbrook Country Club in West Memphis, Arkansas. I was in my freshman year at Ole Miss, a home for the summer, and I pulled out a six iron and put it in the hole. Boom.
Wow. You got one.
I got one, baby. Never an albatross. Never an albatross.
Yeah. I'm actually really proud of those two double eagles first. Not having a hole in one, I got to be honest with you. My brother has seven.
Oh God!
One of which was on a par four, and my brother's had a double eagle when he was. And I actually, this was great. He's 15. I'm 13. He goes, go to the top of the hill. Tell me when they're off the green. So of course I did everything he said. I said, all right, hit it. And he one hopped it in the jar from about 215. And he goes, where is it? And I go, in the hole. And the dummy left his bag in the fairway and ran to the green to see if it was in the hole. I said, great too. Now you got to go back another 200 yards to get your bag. So he was freaking out. It was great.
Would this be the same?
Got to get this one in. He's okay. Playing in the regional championship in Las Vegas for high school. He's a very accomplished player as a junior and senior in high school, and he makes a hole in one on the sixth hole to get it two under par. And the next hole, he made a 10 on a 5-par. He went 1-10. It was great.
1-10 on the scorecard. Ow. You don't see that often.
A one in a box and then another one, except he had to add a zero.
A hole in one, a 10, and then it had a floater. That's when his bag went into the water hazard.
Yes.
So hey, Art, is this the same brother who got kicked off Carnoustie for life with you?
Yes, the both of us spread gold medals, and we are banned. We got a post office picture in the clubhouse. We are not allowed on.
You have a letter from them, right? Saying,
"Oh, I have it in my possession. The next time I'm on, I'll take a picture of it so I can read it to the audience. You just can't believe this, but yes, I am banned. We are banned from Carnoustie for life for playing the back tees." Yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
You played too far back. Hey, I mentioned earlier, Art, that PJ Tour is at the Valspar Championship, Palm Harbor, Florida.
Yes, great.
And
golf.
I went through some of the guys. I went through some of the guys that are playing: Bubba and DJ and Rahm and Jason Day, Patrick Reed. So those are kind of the premier names. But the leaderboard is Joel Dahman and Sepp Straka. Austin Cook is up there. Russell Knox is playing very well as well. So my question is: in the world of golf tournaments now, in the PGA Tour, is there a concern, should there be a concern, that there's 10 tournaments, let's say, that everybody's going to kind of want to play in? You got the majors, and then you got players, and Arnie's tournament, Jack's tournament, maybe. Once you get past that, the Valspars, the Byron Nelsons and Colonials and other tournaments all around the country, the Honda Classic, are they struggling? Are they going to continue to struggle to get good fields, and is there a solution to that?
They are going to struggle because these guys are independent contractors, plus it's a condensed season. Listen, there's two PGA Tours. People have to realize that. I mean, when you see a star-studded leaderboard like last week, I mean, that's the big-time PGA Tour, and you see all these international flags, and they're all here, just like you'll see it at the Masters, just like you'll see it at Wells Fargo, just like you'll see it at Jack's Tournament, at those premium events. and of course the playoffs, and I take nothing away from the players that win in the fall. But, you know, other than Kuchar, look at that list. They make some hay. It's a different tour to me. It really is a different tour, just not only from an appeal standpoint, but from the field strength. There's so many players, and again, when you lose this, those tournaments are going to struggle. But you know they have to play a tournament every 3 years. They haven't played. They're trying to do stuff like that. But
yeah,
it's going to be tough because you just can't play that many in a row when you have the four World Golf Championships, your four majors, and then your three playoff events. You know, it's tough.
Yeah,
it's,
11, it's a, 11 out of the chute. And you know who took it in the shorts? A good friend of ours, Ken Kennerly, who's the tournament director for
the Honda
Classic. Sure. I mean, right in, he took it in the heart, between the eyes, baby. By accident, you know.
I got to interrupt. But don't you think there's really one or two guys maybe that really move the ticket needle? Obviously, Tiger does move the ticket needle.
Sure.
But, I mean, you know, if Phil plays, there's a little spike, or Rory. But I think those tournaments are what they are. They're just not star-studded leaderboards, and they don't get the extra attention and coverage. That's it.
No, and it's Tiger. Yeah. It's Tiger and Dustin. And
Tiger, DJ, Phil,
but still,
and Rory.
Even saying you feel like there's two PGA Tour tours.
The two PGAs.
There's still so much quality golf out there that it's unbelievable. And if there's not a Tiger and not a DJ, you know, go kick the tree and 100 more of those guys will fall out. I mean, just standing on the range in Ponte Vedra Beach, we were on the back range, Steve Elkington and I, standing there with Duffner and with Andrew Landry, University of Arkansas boy.
Sure.
Landry was, I said, we were joking, I said, hit all the shots, you know, 3-3-3. He did it. I said, do it again. He did it. And everything was absolutely dead, solid, sweet, pure,
so
perfect.
Good.
So good, it made you want to kick your mama. And I looked at Elk, and I said, how is he not out here winning? He said, because everybody up and down this line does the same thing. And that's exactly right. From Duffner, who's coming back well, and Tiger was right beside us hitting balls. And to watch Tiger Woods hit balls, and there were no spectators on that back range, you know, the pro range. It was unbelievable to be able to be that close to all those guys and watch how close to perfect they all are. So I totally understand there may be two tours, i.e., whatever, but the quality of golf is there. And for people to not buy the tickets to go to a Honda or not buy the tickets to go to whatever tournament it may be, a Nelson or whatever, they're stupid. Go out there and watch them because those guys are fabulous, fabulous
Absolutely.
Players.
Absolutely. And think about that two-tour thing real quick. Great story. 5 years ago, Greg Chalmers is in his – he's out there. He's fully exempt. And it was a Tuesday of L.A. Open, and we're members at Vaquero together. And I said, why no L.A.? I said, that'd be a pretty good place for a shot maker and a great putter like yourself. He goes, I played. I had to play the Monday qualifier yesterday. Shot 67. And missed by two shots, so I'm here. I said, don't you have the PGA Tour fully exempt card in your pocket? He goes, I have a card, but it's not the other card. So you know, just like when that web.com guy gets his full status, he's missing $120 million of golf tournaments, okay? I mean, it's another tour. He's playing the off events in the fall and the others, so we all know that. Here's a guy fully exempt, and he's back at our club on Tuesday.
Yeah,
he didn't Monday qualify.
Well, here's another biggie. Memphis this year.
It's a World Golf
WGC event now. Big change for the patrons in Memphis because they're used to kind of loosey-goosey, open, no security party type tournament. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be a serious tournament. Now, the field will be much better. So Memphis on the plus side, Honda Classic on the minus side, Honda being the longest contiguous sponsor on the PGA Tour. So,
it's a struggle. It's something that everybody has to, I think about, and I know they worry about it and work on it at PGA Tour headquarters, and we'll see what happens. But you're right, Frank, to your point, even if you take those top five, top 10 name guys out, there are phenomenal golfers up and down that you may or may not even know who they are, but you go watch quality golf, and you're going to see it every week on the PGA Tour, including this week at the Valspar Championship. It makes me think, Art, of the Players' Championship and Rory McIlroy. Bottom line, if he's playing at his best, is he the best player in the world, do you think?
I think on all cylinders, it's all the putter. When you say playing the best, you know, when he drives it the way he drove it, even though he had a couple rough spots. Look, there was no rough out there. I talked to Ryan Palmer yesterday here in Dallas. He was over working out next door to my shop where they train. And I said, tell me about the players. What'd you think about March versus May? He goes, you know, it was soft and wet. He goes, there was no rough. I said, if it was 75 degrees and no wind, what do they shoot? He goes 28 under wins, 26 under wins.
Yeah, yeah. I talked to him at the players, yeah.
You know, so, but back to your question, Tim, you know, guys on all cylinders, obviously Rory, Koepka, DJ. Now, of course, Rory and Dustin, because they've won so much, 32 titles between the two of them, so they're proven winners. Rahm on his best day can play with them, but right now, if they're on all cylinders, you got to pick Rory. The new attitude, Rory, which I really love.
Yeah,
I mean, he's dangerous, and he's going to be very dangerous at Augusta. Getting this win was big
confidence, really big time confidence builder. Back to your point about Ryan saying there was no rough. Don't you think because of the move from May back to March, where it belongs, and I've said it over and over again, of course, the course was designed to have been played in March, and we've discussed that. There was relatively not a lot of rough because I think maybe the PGA Tour wanted to ease back into March. They didn't want to throw it back, throw the rough up 4 inches and kill everybody.
The PGA Tour's genius. They will never risk that because they love their product. Their players are the best. They want them to look the way they should. If the USGA gets gift wrap messages all the time from the PGA of America and from the PGA Tour, this was another one. They don't know how to set up a golf tournament. They're going to ruin Pebble Beach. It's set up. But, yes, there's a great move by the PGA Tour, the way it was set up.
Yeah,
and
it was.
Smart. It's smart. Those guys, you know, I mean, look, if Rory hits a bomb with that north wind the way it was on 16, he's going to hit 9-iron to a par 5, but he's still got to strike 2 shots. I mean, it's that course – with no wind being soft, as Ryan said, these guys would just destroy it. Destroy it.
Yeah, and it brought a lot of players back into the mix because in March, you can pull out the big dog and hit it.
Yep.
Not in May. It's too hard and too fast in May.
Too fast. Yeah. Exactly. Well said.
Yeah. So it was fun. For our listeners, though, very quickly, Tim, sorry about that, to step on you. Watching that tournament on TV, being there, seeing it, and then watching it on TV also, which we did both from the media center, let me tell you, it was more beautiful walking down the fairway than it was on TV. And it was on TV, it was like Walt Disney World, buddy. It was Technicolor on TV.
The tour did a great job.
Did
it beautiful.
Great job. Yeah.
We're joined by Art Sellinger with Sellinger Power Golf. Check out their website. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in a second if you want to know or if you're in the Dallas area. If you just give Art a call. He'll be happy to help you. He loves helping and working with anybody from top professional guys to Tony Romo to you and me and
hackers
all the guys
like
out there.
SellingerPowerGolf.com
is the website. Hey, I was thinking, Art, you're talking about the players. It comes down to 18, and Rory, you know, needs to make par. He pulls out the driver. I think it's amazing how good he is, how far he can hit it, and how confident he is with that because I'm just thinking of me, and maybe even you, Art, or anybody else. You take out a driver, you kind of are tempted to just bunt the ball down the fairway on 18, and Rory just ripped the cover off that ball. His confidence has to be sky high, doesn't it?
It is. It's the best weapon he has. The guy bombs it. He hits it miles, and it's the best club in his bag. And I'll be honest with you, it's a club that eliminates left. Just remember, 3 was 15 degrees aloft. Very easy to turn that over and bring the water in play. Yes, it was easy for him to also block it and hit it through the fairway. It caught Paul Azinger by surprise and a few others. I expected him to hit the diesel right there, and he took it out and just, you know what? That is the club that is the best club in his bag, and you have to use your weapon, and he's great at it. Just like great quick story, talking to Claude Harmon III, about some other business, and I asked a lot of Koepka questions, and he goes, you know what, when he talked to me after he finished the PGA at Belrive, one of his first comments goes, what'd you think, I was going to hit an iron off 18, you know, 2-shot lead? He goes, there's no question I'm hitting my best club in my bag, and I'm making the golf hole 70 yards shorter with my driver versus an iron. I mean, that's where this game is right now. Their swings are impeccable. They're monsters, and they're eliminating. Notice they're all playing the ball left to right. That is the key. They're hitting power fades. They can build the club to do it, and they build their swing to do it. As Claude told me on the phone, pick one way you want to hit it and be great at it. Don't be average at turning it over and fading it. Pick one and be great at it, and that's what both Brooks and DJ have done, and, of course, Rory's doing the same thing.
So is that a different mindset, Art? I mean, what started that? What got people thinking they didn't have to try to do everything with the ball or both ways with given drivers?
Well, I think the technology really helped. And these strong freewoods, most of these players, if they have to turn the ball over, will go to more loft. And, again, they build a golf swing that, again, picks one way that they want to hit it. And if you remember when Tiger worked with Butch, you know, he was cutting the golf ball. He hit fades with the driver. Then when he went to Hank, we worked on trying to hit it both ways and turn the golf ball over. But again, Claude said it best. He says, you need to be one dimensional with the driver and be great at it. And I had a junior in yesterday. Boy, these kids hit it so far, a 16-year-old on my monitor, just about knocking the back out of the building. And I looked at him and I said, Ethan, you have got to pick one way here, pal. And we set the driver up for this power fade. I said, you're swinging 120 miles an hour. Let's just go with it. Don't ever hit it on a dogleg left unless you can carry the trees left like Rory did on 16. So it's awesome. It's where the game's going. It's amazing. Well, I'm the same way, power fade.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're talking about power and length, but there was one for the books with Mr. Fury.
You bet there was.
Oh my gosh.
Do I wish that putt went in on the hole? He missed it on 15.
17 would have been perfect, too.
Yeah, 17, but when he missed the short putt, he's
15.
Yeah, 15, doggone it. I mean, what an effort. Obviously, home track.
Oh, yeah.
And just loved it. And I wish I'd have seen a playoff right there. I love the walk after the ball. I mean, I think he knew it before the strike. That 7-iron was going right at the flag. I mean, to take it up the left side, to cut a little yardage off, I mean, it's
big
fantastic.
Guts.
The guy is so gutsy. Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot of people had tears in their eyes watching that.
Yeah,
it was, and so did Jim. You know? I mean, so did Jim coming off the course because he had it. He had it. But McIlroy did it.
What a great putt he hit on 17 that didn't go in.
Goodness
sakes.
How did that not drop? Come on.
Who knows? Galactic.
Hey, Art, how you feeling now? We haven't asked you in a while about some rules things. Are you okay with the stick being in still? Is it still look weird to you when you watch on tournaments or when you're playing with guys?
I think it's one of the most awful things that the USGA could do. I mean, it's awful. I think there needs to be, you know, amateur rules and pro rules. I'm sorry. You know, I think there needs to be a campaign out there that is on TV by the USGA, and it's called Play to Have Fun. You know what? You're a beginner. Ground your club in the bunker. Encourage it. Tee the golf ball up in the fairway. Don't make a player feel like they're cheaters. This game is so hard, and they can't break 100, and you want the guy to hover the club in a sand trap. You wanted to try to hit or her a 5-iron off the deck. The hardest thing in sports is to hit a golf ball in the air without a tee. And the USGA's got to soften up. You know, what's with this drop business? Let the amateur just place it. Why do you not want them to have a good lie? The pros with this pin in, you know, I've been praying for it since the rule happened. I want somebody to be above the hole on 18 and hit a hard putt and have it hit the pin and go in to win the Masters. I mean, it's terrible. I'm sorry. I don't like it. And it does not speed up play.
No.
One thing speeds up play. It's called a shot clock. That's it.
Yeah. And it may come. I mean, okay. I didn't mean to get your heart blood pumping there in the morning.
I get it, but, you know,
yes,
if you, me
yes,
and Frank go out, but if you, me, and Frank go out and play a public course, I think it's great that we leave the pin in and we'll play faster. Hey, guys, let's just leave the pin in all day. But
Yeah.
They're leaving the pin in because they want an
advantage.
An advantage.
Yeah. It's an advantage. Every one of them has said it.
It's an advantage to have the pin in. It is. And do they have it so wrong. Penalizing these caddies for where they were standing with no intent. There's no intention. Who had the putter hit his shirt? Webb Simpson.
Oh,
the ball
geez,
moved
Louise.
A quarter of an inch, and he called it on himself, an honorable guy. It accidentally hits his shirt. Come on.
That was brutal.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
Okay. Okay. I mean, here's something else I will get everybody stirred up about. Why do amateurs need a full set of clubs?
They don't. They come in my shop, and of course they want the whole rack. Great, that's their call. But there's nothing right now today. Average amateur, I mean beginner, 15 plus handicap, 6 iron through. Goodness sakes, gap wedge. Heck. The 6 iron's as strong as Hogan's 4 iron was, or 3 iron. Anyway, get them a couple hybrids. Get them a couple hybrids and a 7 wood, and they're done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree.
You don't need it. You just don't need it. You don't need it.
What kills me is to see a high handicapper, though, with 4 wedges in his bag. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Come
yeah,
on.
You're right. I do it every day. And you know,
yeah, I was going to say, you know.
No, it should be about an 11 to 12 club situation for, and then they can add to it. There's no such thing as a set anymore, folks. No such thing. Every club has its purpose. You know, you got tour players winning with five different manufacturers in their bag. You know, because like Phil Mickelson has 4 different branded Callaway irons in his bag, 4 different ones.
Yeah, a mixture.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, I've mixed up AP2s and AP1s in my bag.
For sure you do. And so. He's got the driving iron utility. He's got an Epic Pro in there. He's got the X-Forged in there. He has the MB in there. And, of course, he's got his 19 wedges, and I think one's at 80 degrees of loft. That's cool. That's fine.
80 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all cool, but every club has a purpose. And that's fine. But no, they don't need all the clubs. And I really want I want the USGA to start a television and online campaign. It's called It's Okay. All right. When Tim, we talked offline before. My wife plays golf maybe once a year, twice a year, 3 times max. I have her tee it up until she's 40 yards from the green. You know why?
Yeah,
she can
in the
have
fairway.
Fun and hit it. She can't hit it off the ground because it's brutal.
That's why Topgolf's doing so well. That's why Topgolf's on top of the world right now, so to speak, because it's fun.
You're exactly right.
And you don't have to
be
good.
USGA needs this campaign. Everybody should start a petition. It's called It's Okay. It's okay to tee it up. It's okay to ground your club. It's okay to place your ball. And OB, drop it up there in the fairway. It's okay. You're hitting three from up there. You know, it's fine. Just soften it all up. The rules of golf should not be in a book for the amateur. It should be on one page. That's one page.
Here's my pet peeve. Moving to etiquette on the golf course. Pet peeve of mine. Number one pet peeve. People who tee it up on the tee box and break it or just leave the tee laying there. They don't pick it up and at least put it in a little basket or put it over by the marker, by the tee marker.
Yeah.
That bothers you, huh?
That drives
clean
me
up
nuts.
After. Clean up after yourself.
Nuts.
Really?
Yeah.
Broken tees all over the place?
Yeah. I can't stand that.
Yeah.
It just makes me crazy. It's just one of those things. It
forces all the
me to go straight to the liquor cart immediately when I see that happen.
That'll do it to you, huh?
I go to that cart regardless of broken tees.
I was going to say, I don't need a broken tee to be doing that.
Just
hey,
excuse,
Art,
boys.
We appreciate your time. We know you're a busy guy. People want to follow you on Twitter or any social media and know more about Selinger's Power Golf. Is there a website? Tell us what they can do.
Yeah. You know, we're a custom fitting studio, real quick. Thanks to Golf Magazine for recognizing us for being top 25 in the nation.
Congrats.
And Golf Digest, top 100 for the 4th year in a row. We love that. But SelingersPowerGolf.com, we only have 2 studios in Dallas, so you'd have to come to Dallas. I don't do social media personally. We do for the shop. Everybody does that. I'm not a big social media personal guy there, but people can reach me at the shop. I'll answer every email, every question. I'm passionate about the game. I love this game. I want to leave it. I'm scared for this game at age 54 now. I'm worried where it's going, and I'm worried who's going to be playing. And the USGA is in charge of this, and they really, really got to make some moves, guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Hey, right, thanks, guys. Thanks, sir. It's always good.
Have a great
day.
See
you soon, Art.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care, buddy. You can just kind of sense the passion, can't you, Frank?
Oh, absolutely. He is. I mean, you've been a friend of Art's for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And he is very passionate. But he did dig at us pretty hard right out of the chute, baby. You know, bam, right between the eyes. two of our drives.
Two of our drives that hit his. Yeah.
All right, so we'll get a little money game with him in Dallas next time
I'm
over.
He is funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he does. He does. And he says a lot. I think he's extremely smart. He does more than just in Art's history, if we haven't said it in the past, is a world long drive champion, and he owned Long Drivers of America for a long, long time. So his forte was driving the ball a mile. But he was a player at UNLV, and he's played in some tour events. And so he's a very accomplished golfer, but certainly not a tour player, but literally loves the game like nobody's business. I mean, he does everything he can. Everything in his life is about golf and improving golf and making it better. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, he puts on great shows, like corporate shows, and he has guys that he manages as well, that when you go to those corporate outings or whatever, the guy can hit the trick shots, and he hits he hits a putter 275 yards down the, I mean, stripes it down the middle. Yes. He puts on a great show. So yeah, Art's a great guy. I was going to say,
I've done that a few times. Yeah. Hey, I've got to go back to our past few weeks, 4 weeks straight on the road. Back here, Valspar, of course, nothing against Valspar, love the tournament, just had to get home and regroup getting ready for, of course, the match play in Austin, and which I may or may not be there. It isn't settled yet. It will be settled today. And then get ready for the Masters, of course, which we're there actually 2 weeks during the Masters.
Yeah.
But my thanks go to Marriott Sawgrass Resort, Todd Hickey and his staff there, Diane Knox, Russell's sister, Steve Elkington. We all did shows live from the Marriott Sawgrass Resort lobby with all the players there, and it was just a blast the first part of the week. Then moved Wednesday evening up the road about 30 minutes to Amelia Island Plantation, the Omni Amelia Island Plantation Resort. And let me tell you, checked in, they put us up in this gorgeous condo right on the ocean, on top of the breakers, man. Oh, my goodness, it was like heaven on earth. Talked to their entire staff, had them on Oak Marsh, which is the Pete Dye course there at Amelia. It had been 22 years since I played the course. Tim, we got to go, and we've been invited back. So you and your significant other and myself and mine need to go over there because it's like stepping back in time. It's a lot like French Lick, except it's on the ocean.
Really?
It really is. And everybody's so nice there. The food's fabulous. The Omni Resort's beautiful. And it's slow-paced. But the golf course, let me tell you, he built that course between TPC Sawgrass and Hilton Head. And it's all through the marsh. It's like stepping. I mean, it's incredible. I don't know how to describe it, how much fun it was to play, what condition it was in, which was perfect. But as a side note, Tim, I went over to my old country club. I was a member of Sawgrass years ago when I lived there. But I also joined a club called Marsh Landing Country Club when it opened. At the time, it was the private entity. You know, it was supposed to be uber private. I joined it very inexpensively as a charter member because of friendships down there at Sawgrass. So I went over. I hadn't been there in 15 years because I just never had time when I was there at the Players' Championship. But I took some time off in the afternoon, drove across Solano Road there, just out the gate of Sawgrass and the gate of Marsh Landing, just right across Solano Road. Went into the clubhouse, said hello to the pro and some folks, new people, they didn't know me from Adam. And I walked into the locker room and walked by where the guy, you know, does the shoes and all that, mm-hmm. the locker room attendant. And, oh, my gosh, all of a sudden, Sterling walks out. He goes, Mr. Bassett, I'm seeing a ghost. What are you doing back here? He's been there since 90, 86
really?
To 90. Still there, still working. Boy, we hugged, had tears in my eyes, Tim. It was like being back home. You know, it was just so cool. And we sat there and told stories for 2 hours about the old days at Marsh Landing and the first annual member when Tom Powell and I were tied for the lead going into Sunday and stayed out until 2 in the morning that Saturday night celebrating our, you know, soon-to-be victory on the trophy, first victory, and lost by 5 strokes the next day. But, yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. Two-man best ball final round, I think, on a par 5, a 9 was what we carded. So it was bad. But anyway, long story short, I know I'm getting too windy with this.
Yeah,
but
it's too late for that.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, Art Tim. But it was it was great seeing everybody. And thanks to Omni, Amelia Island Plantation. Thanks to Marriott Sawgrass. Thanks to everybody over at the PGA Tour, all of our friends there and our bosses. And Dave Logue, our executive producer, so cordial. And all the boys on the PGA Tour radio play-by-play team. We just had a great time this year. It was different. Good. It was just more relaxed and fun, and it was back in March where it belongs. Enough said on that.
So you couldn't have been happier.
Oh.
That's all you know.
Yeah, man. I missed you, though. It was a good trip. Long time no see Tim.
Yeah.
And people ask about you all the time when I'm doing the show.
They do.
They say, "What? Well, no, where's the guy who's really good at this?"
You're like, who are you talking about?
He's in Dallas.
No idea.
He's not with me this week.
He's not leaving. He's staying right there.
Yeah,
well, good. I'm glad you had a good time. And you'll be back on the road in a little bit, mm-hmm. covering the Masters for sure. You might be in Austin.
For sure. Maybe in Austin. I'm not sure. I'd love to come over there. Are you going to have an opportunity to come down to Austin or no?
I'm actually going to be there, but I'm not going to be probably going to the tournament. I haven't totally decided, but that's because my brother's coming here tonight, actually, with his wife for his spring break. He's a high school teacher. And so we're going to go down to Austin next week.
Oh.
And so we'll be in the area, but I just don't know that I'm going to have time or necessarily want to take them. You know, they might have other ideas of things that they want to do when we're in Austin. We're going to play golf a few places, but I don't think we're going to play at Austin Country Club. For some reason,
there's something going on
there's
there.
There's something happening that they would let me on.
Barton Creek is there.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Barton Creek's beautiful. There are so many in the Hill Country. If I had a die and come back. I just love golf in the Hill Country, which is San Antonio, Austin, Fredericksburg, all that area around Austin is just, it's just very good, very beautiful and natural. So there's rolling hills. There's some great elevation changes. There's rocks that crop out of the fairways and waterfalls that trickle off. I mean, it's just natural beauty. It's just, it's hard to beat. So yeah, we're going to have a good time. Wherever we play, we'll have a good
time. I will tell you that I have tubed the Guadalupe.
Oh, have you?
New Braunfels Armadillo Festival, baby. I went down. I almost went down for the count. Kind of missed the out when it says, you know, danger, no tubes beyond this point thing in there.
Yeah, you missed that sign?
Missed it right under it. I was turned backwards getting a cold beer out of my trailing tube. And, hit the bridge. About 8 people were leaning over that bridge. Dang. You know how low it is as you come through. And what we're talking about, well, you can explain to people. You're a Texan. What? Tell them about
it. The Guadalupe River is a slow moving but a very pretty, clean river that you basically get on a mile down this way or so, and you get on with your tube and you and your buddies, and they let you put beer in another tube in a cooler, and you just spend the day or a good chunk of the day just kind of slowly drifting down. And there are bridges occasionally that go across that people stand and watch and all that. And some, apparently the one you hit,
rapids
hang a little low. You're never really sure. Depends on how much water is flowing that particular time when you're there. Sometimes it's low, sometimes it's high. So some bridges you can get under. Sometimes the water's higher and you've had 4 beers and you're not really sure if you can clear it or not. And you find out that the hard way that you can't get under. But it is a lot of fun. Oh. And for college kids that are at University of Texas and all the schools around Austin and San Antonio and in that area, Texas State's down there as well, that the college kids are there all the time. That's what they spend their weekends doing. So it's a really neat kind of place.
It really is. It was fun. And it's fed by springs. So there are a couple of spots, where you pull off to the left or right and climb up the side of the hill and grab a vine, and you swing out and drop into the spring, and it shoots you right back up. It's really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Now, the water's cold.
Yeah.
Just be
It is cold.
Be aware.
But it's clear. It's clear. It's
crystal
it's
clear.
It's clear, clean water. Yeah, it's a very pretty river that but that's what I'm saying. It's kind of Austin in general, or the Hill Country where you're at. New Braunfels is right there kind of between Austin and San Antonio. It's just, I think, a naturally really, really pretty part. It looks very Texan. Like you kind of think that you're seeing a Western movie when you go and you climb on the rocks and you do all that stuff. It looks like, you know, John Wayne was there 50 years ago shooting a movie.
Oh yeah.
So it's a neat part of the country for sure for people that maybe aren't familiar with it.
Hey, what's going on with Club Corp? What are you doing these days?
Club Corp. I'm actually playing. I played there on with our friend Burton Gilliam.
Hey!
We played at Prestonwood on Tuesday of this week, and I'm playing with him again tomorrow with my brother. My brother comes into town, and Burton and I are taking him to Prestonwood, which has two courses. They have a hills and a creek course, and we're going to actually play the hills course tomorrow with my brother. And so I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, it's all and Prestonwood is the local. There's about 12 actually Club Corp. courses here in Dallas, but they're all over the country, and you're a member of one, I'm a member of one, and everybody out there should be a member or at least check it out, which you can do.
Yeah.
Be a member for a day and go to clubcorp.com and you can get all the information you need to see, because if you're a member at one, you get privileges at all of them all over the
yes.
country, which is really, really special.
I have an update from Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club, where I'm a member, which is a Club Corp.
Yes.
Club, that they had a board meeting last night, and I'm still a member.
Oh, really?
I was
wow.
sweating it for a minute there.
That didn't get past this time. Okay, well, you got another month.
Got another
yeah.
month.
Good for you.
Yeah, another
Good for
month.
You. A reprieve.
Yeah. No, Club Corp's great, and we didn't have an opportunity while we were in Ponte Vedra to take in some of the Club Corp properties down there, the Queens Harbor, which is a beautiful golf course right on the water there. So, yeah, if you're out there, check out what Club Corp properties are around. Go be a member for a day and join, because it's those city clubs are worth joining just by themselves.
Yeah,
just with the
yeah.
dinners and things that you get, and it's pretty awesome stuff. So thanks to Club Corp for being okay. a great sponsor of ours too, and we have a great golf staff at our club here. We have two Club Corp properties in Nashville, and interestingly enough, yesterday when I went out to play, I walked into the whole, four of the board members from Temple Hills Country Club, which is a Club Corp owned property. Were there looking at bluegrass to get ideas, because we just remodeled and our club's just gorgeous. So
yeah.
They were getting ideas and sharing ideas, and some of my friends from Temple Hills were there. Used to be a member down there years ago when I lived way down in town. Now that I'm up north by the lake, there's a big difference.
Yeah.
So anyway, going out there today, it's going to be 65
okay.
in Nashville. Going to tee it up and
nice.
Hit that
nice.
Driver I discussed with you earlier in the show that Art told me was
yeah.
great, and the one I was hitting was a piece of junk. So
we'll see what happens.
Pulls no punches,
the,
man.
The schedule, by the way, so after the Valspar this weekend, World Golf Championship, we just talked about, Dell Technologies Match Play. Remember, it's Match Play. That's what's kind of special about it, too. So
yeah.
it's not only just a WGC, but it's Match Play, very unique, down in Austin at Austin Country Club. And then, of course, the Valero Texas Open as they head down further into the Hill Country in San Antonio, and then the Masters right after that. So,
yeah.
I mean, Frank, the schedule, just before you blink and know it, it just keeps moving along, and one great tournament after another, and I can't wait for this week and watching some of the Valspar, but certainly next week, the beautiful, beautiful tournament. So tune in and watch that one as well. We'll talk to you about it when next week comes. But for those people who want to watch a really, really cool tournament and a neat format with the Match Play, make sure you watch the Dell Technologies next week.
Yeah, that's going to be really neat. Hopefully I can get out there. If I can, I'll let you know. And
okay.
Maybe we
okay.
can hook up and play some golf or something.
Yeah.
That'd be
we'll
fun.
See if we can.
But looking forward to the Masters, as always. And I really do think Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy both have the same idea, along with all the other players, of winning.
Yeah, yeah.
But
everybody wants
those
to win.
Two, Dustin has said his game is in the best shape it has ever been going into the Masters. So
yeah.
Stay off
yeah.
the stairs, Dustin. get a ranch-style house there in Augusta to stay
and
in.
And a lot of pressure on Rory, trying
tons,
to get the ultimate, if you will, the career Grand Slam, and that's what he needs. And so it's been a bit of a bugaboo for him for the last several years, but because he knows it kind of weighs on him, right? And you can only imagine. And so he's hoping, and he's certainly got the game
yeah.
at this time of the year that he's been playing so well that maybe this is the time. And so we'll see some history being made at the Masters.
Hope so.
All right, Frank, well, let's get out of here. We got
right.
got to go. You got to get out there and hit some golf balls with your good driver.
I do. Well, I have to do a show at 11:15 in Lexington, Kentucky with our good friend Matthew Lawrence. So, hey, say hi to Burton Gilliam for me.
Nice.
And take a picture and send it so we can share it with our listeners on social media.
I will do it. I'll send it to you. All right. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in and listening. We love each and every one of you. Thank you to Art Selinger. Again, it's SelingersPowerGolf.com is the website, and he will return emails. Ask him anything you want to know about Art. Just wait for him to be on our show. He'd be more than happy to share his thoughts with you anytime you want. Again, thanks to Art Sellinger. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for listening. And remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.